Oh, Jesus getting closer and closer to Nicodemus, if you notice that. And it came to a point where he was staring him face to face and was just so patient and kind and loving to him, just like he is with all of us. And as I looked into the story further, you know, I began to see some things that I want to express today. And as we go through John 3, verses 1 through 21, we can see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, working here with this man, trying to teach him. There's only three passages in Scripture, and they're all in John, that deal with this man, Nicodemus. And I kind of looked at his life, and I saw a lot of my own life there in him. You know, having the questions, you know, having one foot in and one foot out, wanting to believe Jesus, but yet, you know, the world is pulling you a different way. You know, having all this stuff in your head, which you think you know about God, and then someone comes and turns your world upside down, like Jesus did to Nicodemus. But he did it in love. And that's how Jesus works in our life. He comes to us where we are. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter what's in our head at the moment. Doesn't matter what we think we know. Jesus comes to us. You know, we always think we're going to him, but he's really coming to us. He's the one that does the calling. He's the one that prepares the heart. And this day of Pentecost is a day that shows us that God comes to us. He sent forth his Spirit upon all flesh, it says. So if you believe in Jesus, you have that Spirit working in you. You have that Spirit. There's no condemnation, as was said in the video, in your life. None. None. You're free. You're free from sin, from death. You have a new life now. It's not just the old life made a little better or even a lot better. It's new. You are brand new. Maybe you don't feel new. Maybe you're getting up there in age and, you know, you're not getting around as much, you know. Recently, we were on vacation, and I was reminded how out of shape I am. Went on a few excursions walking around, and didn't take too long. My legs were hurting. My feet were hurting. And, you know, I just was happy. When we came to the end, I was getting a little happy. Okay, you know, this is ending. I'm getting a little tired here, you know. But, you know, God is sending forth his Spirit, and it's a regenerating Spirit, a recreating Spirit. It's not just, you know, taking something old and refashioning it and making it new in that sense. It says we're a new creation. The old man is dead, passed away. So let's go through John and You can follow along in your Bible if you'd like. I'm using, I think, the New International Version. Sometimes it's a little hard for me to follow along, so I just listen. That's okay, you know. Feel free to do whatever you'd like. But there's three instances where Nicodemus is mentioned. In this passage, and in John 7, verse 50 and 51, where Nicodemus came around and started, you know, defending Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin when Jesus was arrested. And he had admonished the council that it was the practice that they give someone a fair trial before they convict a man, because they were just looking to get rid of Jesus, to kill him and get him out of the way quickly. But Nicodemus did publicly stand up for him on that occasion. And then in John 19, after the death of Jesus, Nicodemus came along side of Joseph of Arimathea, and he bought spices for the burial of Jesus, as well as Joseph buying the burial tomb. So those two men were helpful in burying Jesus. So those are the three times he's mentioned in Scripture. But you could see his progression from the time he met Jesus, how, what an impact he had on him. I mean, who wouldn't be impacted by sitting down at Jesus' feet and hearing his words of life? Here he is, the God of life in front of you, teaching you, helping you to understand, giving you a hope like no other can do, as we had looked at in the video. I just when I saw this video, to be honest, at the end, I was speechless. You know, I just thought, if that was me looking into his eyes, I would be speechless. I would just be amazed, as it looked like Nicodemus was in the video, just very quiet and listening. And I think that's the effect Christ has on us, right? It's a powerful experience when you come to God, and when God is reaching into your heart and he's teaching you and guiding you and helping you to understand. And that's why we come here, to learn about him. That's why we study our Bibles at home. That's why we pray, because we need to be connected to the life. The only life that we have is in Jesus. He's the only life. It says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's everything. So it behooves us to learn of him, as the scripture says. And he says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And that rest takes on many forms. That rest takes on many forms in our life. So, the new birth that we have in Jesus is a result of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see the Father, Son, and Spirit working here in this passage, as we have seen in many, many Bible stories that we have presented here at church every Sunday. You know, even in those Old Testament stories, you could see the Father, Son, and Spirit working, because they've been the ones around from eternity. Before creation, you had a relationship. You had a love. You had a bond of peace and joy and happiness like no other. It says God is love, right? God is love. And he wants to share himself with us. He doesn't just want to share love. He wants to share himself, who he is, with us. And we have to accept it. We have to accept it. There are some who reject that love. There are some who turn away from Jesus because life gets difficult and hard. But Jesus is beckoning us and calling us, and he never gives up. He's always there for us. He's there when we're not. And that was the whole purpose of Christ coming to this dead world. But as we get into John, starting in verse 1 of John 3, it says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. You know, Nicodemus, he saw the signs, but he didn't see the significance. He didn't really understand the significance of what those signs were pointing to. He said, we know that you came from God as a teacher, but Jesus was more than a teacher. Jesus not only came from God, he was God in the flesh, as a human being, yet as God. So Nicodemus was confused, because at that time, that was blasphemy if someone said they were God in the flesh. There was only one God to them, to the religious leaders at that time. So this would have been something confusing to him. And by his responses as we go along, you can see that he's struggling to understand. And Jesus gives him the simple truth. Very simple. It's not difficult to understand, but it's hard to believe for some. Hard to believe. So Nicodemus replied to him, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So he cut right to the chase, it seems. It seemed like it was a statement he made out of context to this conversation, but I just feel Jesus knew what was in his heart and why he was really coming to him, because he had these questions about salvation. He had these thoughts in his head, like, who is this man? Who is he representing here? What are these teachings he's bringing to us? So he says, how can someone be born again? After Jesus told him, you must be born again. He says, can someone enter their mother's womb a second time? And I'm sure, that must have brought a smile to Jesus' face. That sounds a little ridiculous, right? Yeah, when you're old, going back into your mother's womb. I'm sure your mother wouldn't appreciate that. Right, moms? Right? Okay. They probably didn't appreciate it the first time, some of you, when you came out as a little one. But, there's a lot of pain sometimes involved in that process, I'm sure. Well, I've never experienced that, but, I'm sure it happens. So, he asked this question, and Jesus answers, truly I tell you, one cannot enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again with water and the Spirit. There's a cleansing that has to take place first in our lives. And that cleansing is done by Christ. We are like little children to him. He has to come and clean us up. He has to take that water and wash us. And then he has to put forth his Spirit in us. That's why it says that born again process involves a cleansing and a giving of a new life, God life. You have God life in you when you have the Spirit of God. By water and by Spirit. Your life is cleansed. It's made new. It's made whole. You're a new creation now. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. He's just trying to be very simple with Nicodemus. You had your parents, and they had their thing, and you were born, but that was a fleshly birth. That was the beginning of your life. But now you need a new birth by the Spirit. It's not the same. It's not the same. Although the flesh is first, yes, we need to be born in the flesh first, but then there's a spiritual birth. that God sends forth that Spirit in you. And I was thinking about that. And I'm saying, you know, Jesus, when he was born, right? He didn't have a human father in that process. Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's why he was both God and man. So, in a sense, we are conceived by the Holy Spirit to produce the new life in us. We need God. This is showing us how much we need God in our lives. This is showing us God is our life. You know, it says he's the vine and we're the branches. There's no life without him. None. None. You wouldn't be living now. I mean, really, both of these processes involve God. You know, he set it forth in motion. He designed it. You know, human bonding and procreation in the flesh is still designed by God. You know, how hard is it to procreate, really? I mean, he makes it real easy for us, doesn't he? Even enjoyable. It's, you know, let's face it. It's a wondrous thing that, you know, two people can share a loving relationship. And that relationship, what? It grows. And the Andrews can tell you a lot about that because they have a wonderful family and the bond of love. And, you know, but God wants us to realize through this story that we can't live without him. There is no life without him. And you heard what he told Nicodemus, right? You know, he said, there's a condemnation between those who believe and those who don't. You must believe. You must believe because how can you go through life eternally not believing in the one that actually gave you life and sustains you? Christ will be living in all flesh, it says, that Spirit's being poured out on all flesh. Now, I don't know all the ramifications of that. You know, I don't know if some will be saved and some won't. I don't pretend to know that. That's God's business. He's the one that does the calling, and he's the one that has the plans and the purposes. All I know is that it is not his will that any should perish. It's not his will. So if that's not his will, that tells me he will accomplish what he purposes in his plans. So I'm hopeful for all people. And plus, there are other scriptures that I can think about that talk about his coming and why he came. And we'll get into some of those. But there's this cleansing and regeneration by the Holy Spirit that must take place. You know, it says that we are his workmanship. He's the potter and we're the clay. These things tell us, you know, we don't have much to really do in that process in one sense. That God is the one coming in and fashioning us and molding us and taking us through the experiences of this life and giving us the guidance we need by his Spirit and the teaching and the learning. That's why we're here today, to learn, to look at his words and to glean from them, you know, truth. Because you're not going to find much truth in this world. You know, you hear a lot nowadays about fake news and all kinds of things going on out there. And it's really hard to find truth in this world. It's really hard. There's no source that's reliable. But you have the truth right here, which you can rely on. You can rely on. Because they're the words of God inspired through his apostles and prophets and those who have gone through this life and put their trust in Him and gave their lives to Him totally and completely. In John chapter 1, just moving over a little bit there to verses 12 and 13, talking about, you know, flesh gives birth to flesh and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. John was explaining earlier in chapter 1, he said, "But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of natural descent," meaning biologically, "or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God." Of God. That's the new birth. When God sends forth His Spirit to you, it wasn't the will of your parents that gave you that new birth. Was it that will? And then Jesus says in verse 7, going back to John 3, "You should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again." You know, I there's so many different ideas about this in the world, even amongst the Christian community, about being born again. And it's just a simple process. It really is, when you just believe these words here. So, you know, Jesus is correcting him. Don't be surprised. You know, don't get all flustered because I told you must be born again and you're not thinking right, that you think you have to go maybe back into your mother's womb to do that. You know, no, don't, you know. And then he brings him a little further on about this idea of the new birth. And he says in verse 8, "The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." You know, I was thinking about that, and I remember many times, you know, laying out in the summertime on the grass, and you're looking at those trees, and they're swaying, the branches are swaying, and the sun's coming down through the branches, and it's just a beautiful thing, isn't it? And you can never tell which way those branches are going to sway. You know, first they're going that way, then they're going that way, and they're going all over the place. And the Spirit's working like that. We have no clue as to how the Spirit works. You know, this is a mystery to us. You know, we don't get to control how the Spirit works in this world or how it works in any human being in their mind and heart. All we have to do is understand God wants all flesh to have that Spirit. He loves everyone. And he says we're all sinners. We were all in that boat called sin, you know, rowing down to our death. That's where we were headed all our lives until he came into our life and broke into our sinful life. So he said, "The wind blows where it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." You know, God's going to give that Spirit to who He pleases, in the time He pleases, and in the way He pleases. And we don't have anything to do with that. Except maybe sometimes He uses us. He may use you to speak words of truth into someone's life, and that Spirit will come and enter that person's heart through those words, and they will have a desire for God. And you don't know how that's going to work. You know, it may happen, like Pastor T was saying, without you expecting anything to happen that day. And the Holy Spirit rings that phone in your life. Because you look at that story of who was the disciple that was the chariot with the eunuch was Philip. Okay, Philip, thank you. So the chariot's going up a road and it's passing Philip, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to Philip, go and overtake that chariot. I have something for you to do there. And Philip obediently runs up to the chariot, and there's a man there reading the book of Isaiah and reading the chapter about Jesus. And he asked the man, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, no, I can't understand unless I have somebody to explain it to me. Bingo. That's Philip's cue. Well, let me help you. I know a man that you're reading about. That's the way God works, right? Mysteriously, spontaneously, many times. We may not ever, you know, realize what's going on when it happens. But you could say something and you weren't really trying to be spiritual, this person, and for some reason that person's got more questions coming to you someday at work. You know, they just see something in you. They see something. I had a lady, never met the lady, came knocking on my door one day at work, and she said, I don't know why, but I just felt like I was meant to see you. And, you know, she had a problem with her son, and, you know, we talked, and I, you know, gave her whatever I could give her. But, you know, I thought about that, like, that was strange. I wasn't, you know, expecting that. But I think God produces those situations. I had another time long ago when I was at work. I was working on a Saturday, and I had about three or four gentlemen, very nicely dressed, black gentlemen, come into my store. And very, very kind, and they were very, very nice and very well-spoken people. And they says to me, sir, we have a problem. Our car broke down, and we need some help. Would you please help us? And I said, sure, you know, what can I do? So he says, well, there's one problem that we have that we can't do this ourselves. We are Sabbath observers. We come from Brooklyn, New York. I said, oh, that's where I'm from. So I said, okay, well, what's the problem? You know, I know you're a Sabbath observer. I said, but isn't this like an ox in a ditch situation? Yeah, yeah. They're all going, yeah, yeah, it is. But they still couldn't do anything. So it was just a wonderful experience that out of all the stores around, that God would bring them to my store. And that was just the beginning of the story. Later on, you know, my wife and I had them over for dinner, and we helped them to get a hotel room, and we paid for them because, you know, they said they were going to pay back. So we just paid. They just couldn't do it that day because it was the Sabbath. And the person that was supposed to help them wouldn't answer the phone because it was the Sabbath. But I understood perfectly what they were going through because I used to be a Sabbath observer. So it was fine with me. You know, I said, yeah, no problem. I understand exactly what you're going through. It's not strange. You know, don't worry. I understand it. So then after that, a couple of weeks later, I get a card. And just this long, you know, letter in the card of how much that situation helped to change them because they didn't have the right attitude, they said, towards some white people that they knew. And they felt that, you know, that all changed now when they met us. And I said, well, who knew, you know, that God was teaching them something and us and bringing us together for that purpose. But, you know, they could have walked in any store. I mean, there's a lot of stores around there, and they just happen to walk in mine. So these are the things that you will experience in life. And it's wonderful when it happens. And, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, all the things that were happening when Jesus was walking around in these towns with the people and the healings going on that he was performing. Just, you know, must have been so many things going on, you know, and the apostles, you know, getting beaten for their beliefs and getting thrown in jail. And then an angel opens up the, I mean, it's crazy, right? But that's what was going on. The Spirit was really working. And a lot was happening, and there was a lot of activity. So just be aware, you know, that these things might happen to you, and don't be surprised when they do, although we always tend to be a little bit. But so Jesus said, don't be surprised at my saying. You know, remember that you're his disciple. You're his disciple, and he wants to teach you. He has a burning desire to teach you, and he wants your questions. He loves when you come to him and want to know more about him and about this love relationship that he has. He's, you know, I never thought I would like teaching, but I took a job years ago teaching like a memory skills lesson. Me, of all people, teaching a memory skills lesson, that's like strange in itself. But it gave me the opportunity to stand in front of a classroom of young kids. And there's a system for, you know, retaining things. I don't remember what it is. Ha, 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 ha. Just kidding. But, no, there was a system that they devised, which was like a picture system. Like you would picture something, and you could associate the picture with the name. So you can actually remember all the capitals of all the states of the United States that way, right? So, I said, okay. So I learned how to do it, and then I'd go into the schools, and I'd have to teach the kids, and I loved it. I mean, I was scared, you know, the first time or two, but after a while, I really enjoyed it, and, I started liking it a lot, but then the job didn't work out. But, you know, I could just see the joy, like, in teaching someone. And when they get it, you know, like when they really get what you're teaching them, you feel, yeah, I'm sure God has a joy in that, you know, when we finally wake up and get it and understand and know the love he has for us, you know, that he didn't come here to destroy us in any way, shape, or form. No, everything he does is to heal and serve and give and love. And, you know, the world has such a different concept of God. You know, I hear so many people, they have this wrong concept of who God is. And it's because of us, really. Christians portray God in the wrong way. You know, they give the Lord a bad name out there by the way they treat people. You know, taking that Bible and pounding them over the head with it, you know. God's going to burn you in hell forever and ever if you don't come to him. And you can't make a person come to Christ. That's not your job. It's not your job to make them come to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So the wind blows where it wills, and that's how the Spirit works, sometimes mysteriously. And then Nicodemus says, how can this be? And Jesus is saying, you are Israel's teacher, and you don't understand these things? You know, these were simple things, simple concepts, and he was supposed to be a very learned man. Jesus is, you know, probably saying, like, what are you guys teaching each other out there? You know, you're supposed to be the teacher of Israel. What are you teaching the people? They certainly weren't teaching them about Christ. No. Ezekiel 36, which Nicodemus should have known, you know, because it was an Old Testament passage, and I'm sure they were teaching from a lot of those Old Testament scriptures. But it says in Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 27, on this theme of water and spirit, and this is the Old Testament now, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I didn't realize, you know, that connection there between that and this story with Nicodemus. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. There it was, right in the book of Ezekiel. What God had planned all along. So it shouldn't have been too strange for Nicodemus. But it was strange for everybody, to be honest. It was strange for everybody. Jesus really turned everybody's life upside down. You know? But they just weren't being taught correctly. Sometimes the teachings of Christ don't make sense to us, like Nicodemus. We don't understand because we do not fully connect to the vine. We're not fully connected at times. So the closer we draw to Christ in faith, the more we understand. It's just natural. The more you spend time with him in his word, the more you're going to get to know him. But it's, you see, that was part of Nicodemus's problem. He knew scriptures, but he didn't know God. And the scriptures are just pointing to God. And that's the problem with religion today, right? We see it a lot where people know a lot about the scriptures, but they just don't have the relationship. They don't know God personally. And we all need to learn more about him personally and you know, how he's working in our life. You know, it is a process. You know, I think we all tend to get scriptural sometimes and fail to realize that there's a person behind the scripture. There's a person. His name is Jesus. And he has a Father, and there's a Holy Spirit there, always working in our life. So moving on, we see that the new birth comes through faith in the Son of God. Verse 11, truly I tell you, we speak what we know, Jesus said, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. And that was the problem with many of the Pharisees. They just didn't believe, and they wanted to kill him. And that was also foretold in prophecy that that would happen. So at this point, Nicodemus was not really a committed believer. And if you look at John 12, it says later that many of the leaders did believe in him. So some of them did come around. Like Nicodemus, I believe he was one of them. But because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him. You know, they were afraid to speak about him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So that's a problem in people's lives. You know, they worry about what the world thinks. They worry about what people will say because they have a faith in Jesus. And there's a big push in this nation, which is coming down on Christians. You know, they're trying to silence the Christian community. You know, they're trying to make it seem like, you know, what we believe is not right in society. You know, that we're bigoted because of our beliefs. You know, because maybe we hold certain beliefs. That we're bigots because of that. We don't accept certain people. It's like, where did they get that from? That we don't accept people. We may not agree with their lifestyle, maybe, but we agree that God loves everybody. We agree on that. But I'm sure there are, you know, like I said, I think we just give the wrong face of Jesus and portray that to people. So, moving along, you know, we see that, you know, many of them were just afraid. And Jesus, you know, tells Nicodemus that, you know, he's speaking simple earthly things to him. And if he doesn't understand that, he's going to have a problem with deeper things. So he's not going to go there right now with Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus needs to chew on what Jesus is telling him here in this session of meeting with him. And then he explains to Nicodemus that no one's gone to heaven at any time except the one that came for heaven. So now he's revealing who he is, who he really is. He's not just a teacher. He's saying, I've been there. I've been in heaven. Except the Son of Man. You know, this is the only one that's been there. And he's revealing himself as that heavenly man, as well as the earthly man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's giving him a foretaste of what's to come. Look, they're going to take my life and crucify me, but this is what I came to do, because this is how I'm going to heal all of you. I'm going to give my life for you all. The Son of Man must be lifted up. It wasn't a choice. It was his choice to do that, but he had that mission, and that was going to be what he was going to do. There was no doubt about that. And everyone who believes may have eternal life. I mean, that's simple. It's simple. Do you believe in Jesus? You know, I've believed in him for years, since I was a little kid. I mean, I had my faith grounded in the Catholic Church. My father used to take me to church, and Catholic Church was very good on teaching about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I had a good foundation. Got a little messed up later, when I came into this church. But we changed again, right? We changed. Our focus is Trinitarian again, which I am thankful for. But, you know, I always believed in God. My father would take me to church. I'd go and I'd listen to the gospel messages. You know, they read little scriptures out of the gospels and the stories. And always loved that, you know. So, lastly, we have to realize that Jesus is the gift from God who loves this world. You know, he's the gift. He's the one. He's the life. He's the truth. And he's our way to the Father. And these last few scriptures here teach us that. And Jesus was telling him, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. He loved the world so much he gave us himself, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There's no life without Jesus. None. Yeah, I will say, you must believe in him. You must. And I'm sure you do, or you wouldn't be here today if you didn't. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's what the outsiders think, that are not believing. They think that God came to condemn them. It's like, no, no. He came because he loves you, and he wants to see you with him forever. And he wants to take you out of your misery and your darkness. I mean, that should be obvious, but, you know, it's not. It's not. I mean, there are plenty of scriptures that talk about his love, but people just don't see it. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict, that light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Yeah, all our deeds were evil. It's just a matter of confessing them and turning away from them and saying, God, I'm sorry. Please come into my life and guide it. Take me out of this darkness. Fill me with your light. He'll do it. He'll do it. He doesn't turn anybody away from coming to him. Nobody. He doesn't turn anybody away if you have a sincere heart to want to know him. Coming to him is really him drawing you anyway. You know, he's sending forth the Spirit into all flesh to draw those people to repentance and faith. It's not your faith, it's his faith. He's given it to you through his own life. So everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed, which is exactly what he needs to do. Get his deeds exposed, like we all do. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So coming to the light is synonymous with coming to Jesus. That's what we do. We come to Jesus, the light of the world. The light says that he will forgive our sins if we confess them. He said he's faithful to do that. So, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your life? That's the question here. Like Nicodemus, you know, do you have questions? That's okay. You don't need to know everything. You just need to know God loves you and that he wants that relationship with you and that maybe he brought you here today to hear that. I don't know. Nobody knows that, but, you know, he said there are steps to take. If you believe that, repent and believe the gospel. Believe what he says and be baptized. You know, be baptized and make that commitment to him, to learn of him, to sit at his feet like Nicodemus did and ask him those questions. You have pastors here that can help you if you need that. If you want to be baptized, you want to enter the family of God in a public way and show your commitment, you can do that. You can do that. So at the end here, I want to have Dave play a song for you and listen to the words of that song. I think you'll like it. And the words are very appropriate for this message here. And then you can all have a good day. Oh, we'll have communion after that. Sorry.